Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you want to have a trusting, loving, and honest relationship with your mother or daughter, you're in the right place. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher, a Christian clinical psychologist and ordained chaplain, better known as Dr. Bessie. My co-host and I will share God's expectation of a mother and daughter relationship to help you with your healing process towards your best mother and daughter relationship according to the Word of God. So sit back with your pen and paper or recorder because we are coming after your heart.
Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables. I'm your host, Dr. Bessie, sitting there with my co-host, Cynthia Oliver, and hopefully Deborah Tyler will join us in a few minutes. And Happy New Year's to everybody. I hate to date some of the shows, but you got to say Happy New Year's. You just got to say that. Because if you hear and you're listening to this message, God has granted you the entry into the dimensions of a new year, according to the time stamp. So I thank you for joining us. We're excited. This is an amazing, amazing year. And you might say, well, Dr. Bessie, how do you know it's an amazing year? Because the Word of God say, you shall have what you say. If you say it and believe it and don't doubt it in your heart, the word is true. You shall have what you say. So I've said, and I didn't go with New Year's resolutions. I don't believe in that. I believe in thinking about what I need to do according to the Word of God and agreeing with that. That will be your truth. We can say a lot of things, and we can become right off the cuff, but what are you saying? Does that align with the will of God for your life? Because remember, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. He know your beginning, your middle, and your end. We can make choices that will delay our plans. But we can't make choices that's going to change the Word of God. Think about it. All right, welcome, and let's go in here, find my host. We'll be back together again. I'm telling you, we've been apart for a moment. Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody.
Good morning. Happy New Year, ladies.
Oh, man. She's back, Deborah.
Let's go.
She's back.
All right.
I missed you guys. I missed you guys. It is good to be back. I've been on assignment, life assignment.
So how was your last 2 weeks, Cynthia?
Man, my last 2 weeks has been amazing. For the audience who don't know, I became a grandmother for the first time at age 62. So It has been interesting. I've been in Chicago with my sugar plum, and it was I was taking care of the big people, and I was letting them take care of the baby. And so all is well. Got to love on them a little bit, kiss those feet to bless them everywhere they go. And I've just been doing the mommy thing. I've been doing the mommy thing, and I'm Grammy, guys. I'm Grammy T. So all is well. I'm glad to be back. I missed you, ladies. Let's see what God has for us in 2024. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
All
Amen.
Right. Congratulations, Cynthia. Thank you for sending the pictures. Ayin, it's a blessed young man. Got beautiful parents. They're excited. Been waiting on him to get here. He decided to choose them, and here he is. So look out, Keith and Jazz.
Look out,
Laurel. I am a sheer. Be ready, be ready, be ready. All right, Deborah, how about you for the last 2 weeks? I've heard from you, but I mean, we haven't been together on the radio in 2 weeks. So how was yours?
Well, I had an amazing time off. So I was off for maybe like 10 days. And I tell you, I went by my friends, or they family, not blood, but they family, and hung out with them, visit my mom. You know, my nephew had a birthday. Y'all was like 2 days apart, and went over there to K-Speed, and just had a good time relaxing. Didn't have to put a whole lot of effort in anything, and I came back just with a refreshed mindset that I'm willing to do His will wherever He have me, wherever I'm planning. I need to prosper in the Lord, and so my mind has just been at ease, and I've just been flowing in that new revelation that I have, that wherever I go, I'm supposed to bring that light in whatever area in the way that I need to bring it.
Amen.
All right.
And Deborah, I just wanted to say publicly, I saw you giving your speech at the homeless initiation or annual event, and you were absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much. I forgot about that. And we did have that. On the 22nd, we do that every year, Homeless Memorial, where we recognize those that have been homeless and died on the streets. So every year we get the names from the corner of the Miami-Dade. We do a visual, kind of like visual, you know, let them know that you're gone, but you're not forgotten. So I'm the chair for the homeless, formerly homeless forum, and that's what I was doing, giving a closing remarks. Just for the audience so they know what that event was about.
All right. Well, you know, it's amazing. We all got assignments. We all are sitting in different places to do different assignments. Excuse me. And God knows He can trust us with an assignment. This year is going to be even more assignments given to us. God had me writing things out. I've had a wonderful 2 weeks, had Christmas with the kids. We did destination gifts. And, you know, they wanted to do all these things. And I was like, no, let's just, for my birthday. And I was like, no. Yeah, you know, we had a good Christmas. We had a lot of people. I just wanted to rest. And my daughter and her husband was going. But they had 17 other couples, and they all went on a caravan. Everybody driving their RV, and they went some part of Alabama and stayed a week. So I kept my great-grandson, who was my best buddy, and we had a good time. And so they wanted to come take me out to dinner to my grandkids, and I said no. By the time Samantha get off from work, it's going to be, you know, 5 o'clock, and then she got to get dressed, and 7 o'clock, it's cold. And I had on my house dress, and I just really wanted to sit back, watch movies, and just relax. But yesterday, after my daughter got back, they came back on Monday evening, Tuesday evening. She said, Mama, let's go have lunch and go see The Color Purple. And I knew that was her way of saying, you know, I wouldn't let her take me out for breakfast, because it was rushing trying to get out one thing to the other. And we went to see The Color Purple, went to lunch at her, and then went to see The Color Purple. And I was sitting there looking at her going, I just thank God. I said, God, I'm so grateful. I'm just so grateful. Do you know, Cynthia and Deborah, how blessed we are? We are so blessed. People are trying to find people under all of this rubbish under the hurricane, that the people losing their homes, being shot at with missiles flying all over the place. There's no food. People stop at the border, just want to come across God's land, and man is saying, no, you can't step across this line. People are being held hostage in their own home. And I said, God, thank you. I'm blessed. My children are fine. We got food to eat. We got a place to go. Thank you. Our health is good. May have a challenge every once in a while, but our health is good. Our children are good. Cynthia got a baby. God decided, well, you know what? I'm going to send you a soul. Y'all want a soul? I'm going to send you a soul to take care of. So today, as I was sitting there watching, and anybody out here, if you hadn't seen The Color Purple, do yourself a favor. Go see The Color Purple. You know me, I don't promote a lot of stuff. But if I say something, you better believe. It's got more than just the name Color Purple to it. It's really got the message, a spiritual message, very strong in it. So, ladies, I sat there and I was crying. Wanted to do the boo-hoo crying, but I didn't want to scare everybody in the theater. But I was looking at it, gotten emotional about it, but more so feeling my daughter sitting beside me, knowing that she really loves me and I really love her. And it's just something came all over me, like, wow. She really does love her mother. That was the greatest gift. And I just said, God, thank you. Thank you for sending Angie to live in my life. So this year, God has got the plans for us. He's spilling it out for the last month or so. He's designing in my head. I can't rest at night because he's showing me things so fast. And as I speak things, it's coming to pass really fast. If I say something this morning, you better believe somebody's going to say something to confirm that, or something's going to show up on YouTube, something's going to show up somewhere. I'm like, wow, God just told me. We just talked about that. So God is letting me know. 24, we're into a whole new year. 24, we are moving to the number 8, which is new beginnings. We've left 7. So get ready, ladies. It's going to move really, really, really fast. The blessings are going to pour in. He said, I will bless them. And it's coming. For all of those that are here and all of those that stay, they will receive. That's the message for us at Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries, and everything that we got our hands on are now blessed in Jesus' name. All right, I did all that. It sounded like a sermon, but I just had to say what God placed on my heart. Cynthia, would you give us a prayer?
Yes. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Father God, you get the glory today because we didn't have to be here. As close as it was to a new year, somebody didn't make it over. A lot of somebodies didn't make it over. And even since the year came in, some people have left this world. And so, Father God, we take this time, we humble ourselves to say, Father God, we thank you. We thank you for yet another chance, another year to get it right. And getting it right just simply means doing what you'll tell us to do, going where you'll tell us to go, and saying what you will have us to say for the glory, for your glory, and to serve your people. So I thank you for Dr. Fletcher. I thank you for Deborah and myself being willing to continue to do your will. Thank you for this first Saturday of the new year in order that we are willing to do your work. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. I think our little baby had a little cold, and I think it thought it was coming over here. Like, nah. We had to head it off. But our topic this morning, ladies, mothers and daughters. Oh, I meant to change that. It's supposed to say, mothers, do you trust your daughters? Do you trust your daughters? That's the thing. Do you trust your daughters? And of course, that was a topic. Cynthia called me this morning. Are we on? I'm like, yeah, just waiting on a topic. And it was like, I think we had a few minutes. And finally, the Holy Spirit said what he wanted me to say. And it was, mothers, do you trust your daughter? And the reason he said is that what's going on in the new year is that we've got to build everything on trust. Everything's got to be done on trust. And that's where we're missing it. Because we're not trusting. We're not trusting. We're just living according to yesterday. And so that's our topic, lady, and I'll be back, and I will pick you guys up, okay? I'm assuming they heard me. All right. I was making some adjustments there. To our topic there. I was talking to the audience and trying to make that adjustment. I had mothers and daughters. I'm so used to writing mothers and daughters. It's mothers, do you trust your daughters? That's our topic. Let me make sure that is correct. Mothers, do you trust your daughters? Because I'm finding that a lot of times mothers are blaming their daughters. But really, is it the daughter? Is it the daughter? So you got to ask yourself, is it the daughter? Or mother, could it be you? You know, we are so geared in as mothers that we think we are the authority. And whenever you're in a position as a mother, you do have authority according to the hierarchy of God's word. That's why he said, honor your mother and your father, because they are above you. I didn't see anywhere where he says, honor your sisters and your brothers. Now, it may be in the Bible. Don't get excited. I don't know. I just never seen it. It's always honor your mother and your father, or your father first and then your mother's the way I think it was stated. And a lot of times we get into the physical mother and father. The physical mother and father is just an extension of the mother and father from which we came. God is the mother and the father. And that's kind of hard for somebody, sometimes for people to wrap their head around or their thoughts around and say, you know, how God's going to be the father and the mother. He said, I am that. There is nothing that is that I am not. And if you get that, that'll give you understanding and revelation. There is nothing that is that I am not. Now let's look at that. What does nothing mean? It means no thing. No thing. No thing. That is. And is means present. Is. It is. It's present. It's now. That I am the name of God. I am means God. Not. And if it's not, the best thing I can tell you, it's not. That's a simple explanation that you understand. I mean, it doesn't exist. So, if that's the case, then that defines God in everything. God is. He is the Father. He is the Mother. Honor your father and your mother. Now, you have an earthly father and an earthly mother that supposed to represent the father and mother within the body of God. And when we fall short as parents, earthly parents, it's because something we've done. Not something that God did. It's something that we've done as earthly parents, as earthly children. The key thing that God gave us was a voice, and he gave us the opportunity to choose. Those are the key things. So if you got a voice and you're speaking things into existence, even God can't stop it, because that would go against his will. He said, if you say it and believe it in your heart, you shall receive that. That's in Mark 11, I think it's 23. Because, you know, 22 is have faith in God. And the other one is if you speak to the mountain, tell it to be thou removed and cast into the sea, boom. I think that's 23. And then 24, it's whatever you say and believe in your heart and don't doubt it, you shall receive it. So that's good or bad, whatever, whatsoever. See, they're key words. So when you're parenting, and I'm going to speak to the mother because we deal with mother and daughter relationships. Mothers, if you are not mimicking the words of God, then you're not parenting according to the words of God. See, kids, when you have a child, they can hear you. And I always say, the most important thing that you need to know about your child, there's 86,400 seconds in a day. She's watching you. Those are, that she sees life. And once she takes those pictures into her subconscious mind, they live in her forever. That's why you have to be very careful with what you do. We do what we see people do. Even when you're telling your baby to speak, you're trying to train that child to speak, and you say, mommy, say mommy, say mommy. And the child is looking at your lips. As every time you say mommy, she's looking at your lips. And she just keep looking at your lips. And then she'll stop moving her lips. And she'll move her lips. Say mommy. And finally something will come out and say, mom, mommy. And you go, oh my God, she said mommy. Oh Jesus, she said mommy. She mimics what you say. And we all do that. That's why it's so important, mothers, to look at your mother and daughter relationship and deal with the issues that you struggle with your mother. You got to get that right. You got to deal with that. Because otherwise, you're just sliding down a muddy, dirty path and dragging your daughters with you. You're never going to get to the white water to cleanse if you don't deal with your past, with your mother and daughter issues. I tell mothers all the time, it's not about your daughter as much as it is about you. You get yourself cleaned up and watch and see how that invisible and biblical cord will extend that energy to your door. And I tell you, I have clients right now. I've said that to them. And they're saying to me, oh, my daughter called me. Oh, well, now we're going to dinner. Oh, this is happening. See, Dr. Fletcher, I can't believe it. I said, you, that daughter's attached to you. You can bless or curse your children, may it be male or female, by the words that come out of your mouth. You can bless them or you can curse them. Like sometimes the mothers say, yeah, but that's, see. No. Don't go with the but or see or yeah. You're heading down the wrong path. You're getting ready to say something negative. You got to speak life. You got a tongue that can cut a heart out without even touching the body. You got a tongue that can confuse intro conversations in anybody's head. You got a tongue that can stop a person from moving in their body. You can help a person or you can mess them up with a tongue. One of the smallest organs that you have, with a tongue. Because that tongue, God told you about that tongue. That's why I tell my parents, shut your mouth. Sounds cold, but it's effective. When I tell them, when you go, you shut your mouth. Because every time you open your mouth and you think you're right and you're giving advice and you're saying stuff, they don't want to hear it. They're not hearing you. You're just running your mouth and you're building up animosity. Because they already know you're going to run your mouth. Shut your mouth and listen. Shut your mouth and listen. And I'm telling you, you'll bless your children. By saying nothing, Dr. Fletcher, that's going to bless them. How they going to know what I'm thinking? They don't need to know. They already know what you're thinking because you done told them 100 times. They're not crazy. They done heard it. They know when you open your mouth, when the first word come out, what you're going to say. They can mimic you word for word for word for word because you say the same thing over and over and over looking for a different result. And they say you insane, and that's the definition of insanity. Why you keep repeating things to people? They heard you the first time. Just because they didn't do what you told them to do doesn't mean they didn't hear you. So, all that repeating, you're cursing your children. You're cursing your relationship. And I'll tell you, one of my clients this week, and I know they don't mind me telling this, one of the things that I had her do was to do the 3-minute conversation exercise. where you take a piece of paper and a pen and a 3-minute timer, and you sit down and make a statement of something that, you know, she wanted to say to her mother, and the mother has to sit and listen and can't say nothing while she's talking, but just write down what your thoughts are. And for 3 minutes, the daughter gets to say everything she wants to say on that subject matter. And then afterward, the mother's going to repeat what she thought the daughter said. This is what you said. In fact, she does that before the daughter explains, so they're all clear on the same subject matter. And after that 3 minutes from the daughter explaining how she feels about the subject, then the mother turns the 3-minute timer on, and then she explains her side of what she thought about the matter. And then this opens up the discussion without any arguments. This cuts down on arguments for any relationship. I've seen husband and wives do it. But the most amazing thing, and it just blessed my soul, was when they said to me, "We had so much fun doing our 3-minute exercise." I said, "Oh," they were giggling like two little teenagers. I said, "Well, that is awesome." I said, "I'm excited." And yeah, we had so much fun. Said, "My brother, who doesn't talk much at all, he don't share his thoughts. He was doing it. My dad, who don't talk," she said, "they spent 4.5 hours. Everybody in the family was taking 3 minutes. Everybody had something they was holding on to that they released in 4.5 hours. And the mother was like, "I didn't even know." And the sister was like, "My brother was sharing." She said, "It just changed our family. It was like a game." I was like, "You know, I never thought about it like that." The whole family. And then there's another client. She's doing her counseling. And then she started telling her husband, and she said, "Well, honey, let's try it." And he said, "Okay." And now her husband says to her, "Baby, we need a 3-minute conversation." She said, "We don't argue anymore. We laugh. We have more fun. It's the 3 minutes. We know when you say the 3-minute conversation, we get our timer and our paper. We go to the table. Baby, this is what I need to tell you that's on my heart right here." Boom, boom, boom. And they do it. And they laugh about it and walk away. She said, "We have not argued." See, that's what kills a marriage. Because one person thinks that they are right. One person thinks that they got all the answers. Either my way or the highway. And then you dominate the other person. And they shut up and you wonder why they're not talking to you. God even tell you, it's better for a man to go on the rooftop of a house than to stay inside with a bickering woman. And you know God knew something was going to happen. So mothers out there, if you're bickering with your husband and he's shutting you off and going outside, going to his man cave, or shutting down, ain't talking, shut your mouth. I mean, you're talking too much. Then tune you out. You just rattling in, and he done tune you out. Think about it. You sound like a foolish woman. And that's the way we are with our children, our neighbors, our family. We got the answer. If it ain't our answer, they don't know, because I know. It's the worst thing in the world for a person to think that they have the answer for someone else, because you don't. God didn't give you but one life, and that's the only one you got control over. You can't even control a 3-month-old baby. You try to give that baby peas, she just spit it right back in your face. And finally, after several attempts, the smart one, says, "Oh, she doesn't like peas. She told you that when you put it in her mouth the first time. But I'm the mother. You're going to eat your vegetables. So she don't want peas. Spit it out." She got to spit it out 10 times for you, the intelligent one, to really get that I don't like peas. Try another vegetable. Try some green beans. Or put some peaches in the green beans. You got to be creative. Well, the same thing happens when she's 13, 18, 30, 50, 60, you got to change the recipe. You can't keep using the same recipe expecting the same results when she was 3. So why am I saying all of this? Do you trust your daughter? Do you trust your daughter? Ask yourself, do I really trust my daughter? I'm not playing with this on top of the surface type of thing. Yeah, I trust my daughter. Yeah, we do. Do you really? Can you have an honest conversation with her? Are you holding back stuff? If you're holding back something and you haven't told her and you know that's interfering with your relationship, then that means you don't trust your daughter. But more importantly, you don't trust yourself. That's where you are. You have trust issues. So the 3-minute conversation piece can bless anybody that's interested in clearing up their relationship, communication relationship, even with your neighbor. You can tell your neighbor, you know, we've had problems and it seems like we just can't get along, you know, you're not hearing me. Let me have a 3-minute conversation with you. Let's just sit down and have a cup of coffee. You bring the pen and the paper. And let's do this right here. Because I really want to hear what you have to say. Obviously, I have not heard you. Because in order for people to bicker, somebody is not hearing the other. Because why? If you heard and you understand, then you know better, then you should do better. Obviously, you're not hearing because you're not making any changes. Stop trying to control other people. God is looking at you, and we claim we are Christians. Oh, I'm Christian. I get up and I read the Bible 3 hours a day, and I talk to God. And me and God got a good relationship. Yeah, God looking at you. Yeah, but you're doing everything but what I told you to do. I told you I only gave you one commandment, and that's love. You think person telling a person what to do and managing them is love? You all out of the grace of God. And then when you get to heaven to the pearly gates and you're like, oh, see y'all, I'm going to the right. And angel, no ma'am. What do you mean, no ma'am? I served God all those years. I read the Bible. I helped people. I cooked, fed the homeless. I did this and I did that. I gave my last dime. Yeah. But you didn't work out of love. You didn't love them where they were. You didn't love them into a better space. You didn't love. You didn't follow the first commandment. So now you're going to have to go to the left. See, what most people don't understand, you can get into heaven, but what level are you going to be on when you get there? Everybody's not going to be on the same level. He already done told you. You're not going to be on the same level. People say, well, I just want to get in the pearly gates. Oh, really? Is that what you just want to do? Or do you really want to honor God? It's not about the levels. It's not about the pearly gate. It's about respect and honoring God. And if you look mothers into your heart and you know, I don't have to tell you, because you're the one that cannot lie to yourself. You know when you bossing people around. You know when you're talking short to people. You know that because something in you going to tell you. You might just go on and act like you didn't hear it, but see, you're out of love. You're out of the first commandment. If you can't do the first commandment, ain't nothing else in your life going to work. So you're running around hurting, sick, bending up. A lot of that stuff comes because we got to get cleaned up. We got to ask for forgiveness because you're out of love. Love is the healer. I kept saying this a week or so ago. I just stopped and I said, you know what, Bessie, I forgive you. I forgive you. I have forgiven. I have these sessions where I forgive everybody. The ones talk about me, the ones laugh at me, The ones think I'm crazy. The ones who got the secret conversation behind my back. God, show me all that stuff. And he said, and that's why they're not blessed. He said, I ain't blessing them. Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. And I am anointed. And you have to be careful when you put your mouth on an anointed person. And you're wondering why your money ain't flowing. You wonder why your blessings ain't flowing. Because you got a secret conversation about one of God's anointed people. He already told you, touch not. You think he's going to bless you? Think God's going to lie? He's going to bless you? But I said, Bessie, I forgive you. I had to go in and clean my own self up. Forgive me for words that I've said and done and not may not even realize it. So 2024, I am saying what God told me to say. I don't care if you like it, don't like it. I said, God, I am going to do what you told me to do. You gave me 2024, I work for you. I work for nobody else. And we're going to get God's work done. I'm going to get God's work done. That's all I can do is talk about me. Watch and see what God's going to do. Watch and see. All right. Whew. Thank you, God. Deborah?
Wow, I could just say amen. I mean, you just hit on every avenue that I was feeling to expound on. And wow, it just kind of like got me right there, you know. And one of the things I know that, like you say, you forgave everybody but you. And I had never, ever thought about forgiving me for doing me wrong, for dogging me out, for all that I did to me, you know, because I was just yesterday saying, because the word was talking about anybody that you might still hold and holding stuff, and I was searching my heart. And I said, oh, wow, I think I finally got it all covered. But he just said about forgiving you. And so I wanted to say that first about forgiving me. I forgive Deborah Denise Tyler for all that I did and done and might even do before God take me home. And so back to the topic, mother, do you trust your daughter? And there again, sometimes we don't trust ourselves, which can cause us to have a lack of trust for others. And so what I suggest, what I do works for me, and to me, see, God help me. God, you know my heart. You know I really want to not have offense with my sibling from something that I believe would happen long, long, long when I was young, because we have these headbutt from time to time, and I've been paying attention to, you know, me and mom, we working it through, and we, but it's the sibling that I've noticed that she and I have, you know, and I think I want to try that you talk, I listen, you talk. Let's move forward, because it's obviously something there. And I even share with my other sister, I said it's only happened when we're in a group. When we one-on-one, when we meet her mom, it don't happen. But when we three or more, four or more, it seems like it's happening. So I'm paying attention. But, and then I'm going back to Galatians and also trying to use those fruit of spirits. You know, long suffering and kindness and goodness and gentleness and having self-control and not saying what the flesh want to say, because I know sometimes that tongue get loose and things cut like a sword. And people say sticks and stones may break my bones, the names and words will never hurt. That's not true for me. And so I want to be mindful are the words I say. And what I already said, the damage is done. So like we're talking about repairing, we have to repair. Because God says that y'all are the body of Christ. It is many members. The neck can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Because when the foot not feeling good, the whole body feels it. And start to lean on the other parts to take the weight off the foot. And so God made it to where we're supposed to be, helping in unity and loving one another, forgiving one another, forgiving, continuation, because people ain't going to just offend one time. I'm not going to just offend one time. I don't choose to just deliberately offend and offend people, but he's saying forgive and keep it going, because you're going to keep doing stuff in your life before I take you home. They're going to keep doing stuff, maybe not the same stuff, but learn the art of forgiving to keep it going, keep it flowing, to keep the love and the gentleness and the kindness in the relationship. Like you said, it could be a neighbor. It could be people on a job. It could be people in the grocery store. They cut you off for a parking spot. And God is saying, hey, if you just go back to practicing these fruits of the Spirit, long-suffering, kindness, make it an effort to go out your way and to reconcile. God said, in closing, at all costs, be at peace with people. Be at peace with people. And that means your sister, your mama, your neighbor. And the job is a big task, but God wouldn't call us to do it if we couldn't do it. With him, all things are possible. Amen.
Amen, amen. And, you know, a couple things. One being, that's why I said now, if I was to get married now, I would know how to be a wife. It took all of these 14 or 15 years of not dating or being in a relationship to work with Bessie. But I didn't know I needed to forgive myself, Deborah. And it just hit me. Spirit was like, you never forgave yourself. So it's like, once you do that today, Deborah, I'm telling you, it's like a ton will lift off of your shoulder. It's a demonic darkness energy that have you tight. But once you forgive yourself, we always think forgiveness is about somebody else. But once you forgive yourself, I mean, you're talking about make you free. You're going to feel totally different after you've done it. But I said, you know what? Now I know how to treat somebody. That's why, you know, it's not that God didn't give me anybody. I said, I don't want nobody. Because I know I wasn't ready because I got trust issues. Now I realize, no, I wasn't forgiving myself. I ain't trust myself. You know what I'm saying? I can't explain it all. But when you do that, you're going to see. But I'm going to tell you what God told me to tell you. When you were talking about you and your sister bumping heads, God said, tell her that your sister is jealous. And the reason she's jealous is because all those years that you were gone from the family, she had a position. But when you and her one-on-one, it's no competition. But with you in the group with others, and you come with laughter and joy and having people laughing and joking, it makes her feel some kind of way, like she has to take a back seat to you. So she's got to do something to tamper down, to bring down that energy level that you have. God said, that's what that's about. It's about jealousy. Because you know she loves you, but she doesn't realize she's doing it. But it's something when you get in there and you know, you do it and it's not that you're doing it, it's just you. Everybody loves being around you. You bring such joy and such laughter and you have people cracking up. And she wants you not to be the center of attention. Somewhere along the line, she's been a center of attention. And you came back in, and now everybody's, when you were in there, you said you noticed it. See what happened. Now, if you really want to notice it, try your best the next time you're in a group. Not saying you got to change for her, but try your best to see if you don't if you just sit back and relax, and she'll come to you and say, what's wrong with you? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you? If you sit back and shut your mouth, she's going to come to you and say, what's wrong? Because she knows. She's waiting on you. It's an unconscious thing, not a conscious thing. But the other thing was the three-minute conversation. You can get around all of that simply by just calling her up one day and say, you know what? You apologize. If I've done anything, I just feel like I may have done something and we can't get to the root of it. And I would just like to have a three-minute conversation, tell her how it worked. Because I love you more than this. I just want to spend the rest of my life in love with you. And start with that. And then you start, that's going to be your opening for your 3 minutes. And then let her fall in. Watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
That's what the Lord told me to share with you.
Amen.
All right, let's see what Cynthia has to say. Good morning, Cynthia, again.
Yes, good morning. Good stuff, ladies. I don't have much to say other than I'm going to give a couple of scriptures that what you were talking about, Dr. Fletcher, is found in Ephesians 6:1. We are to, honor our fathers and our mothers. And Exodus 20:12 pretty much says the same thing. But, trust starts with the mother. Mothers set the tones for trust. And if you have trust issues, all you got to do is look back, as Deborah said, look back to see. Be of wisdom. And Proverbs 2:1 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my word and hide my commandments with so that thy incline thy ear. And Dr. Fletcher, you said it very clear. We need to be more about listening than speaking, because that's the wisdom of God. And apply thy heart to understand what's important. We have to, do you want to win the argument or you want to be in relationship? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. Do we want to be in relationship with the people in our lives? And if we do, Proverbs 2:1-5 tells us how to be in relationship. And forgiveness is for us. It's not for the other person. And God told me when I was in Chicago, dealing with the same type of conversation that, Deborah, you're pondering, with my sister, he said, forgive them 70 times seven. Keep forgiving them, because we really know not what we do when we are not at peace with people. And when we are, and sometimes we hurt people not even aware that we're hurting them. And it's not even about us, other than Dr. Fletcher, what you just shared about how things may be going between, why these situations are happening. It's real stuff. It's real that envy is real. Jealousy is real. And it ain't got nothing to do with us, but we have to get to the bottom of it by listening and seeing what is being said. I read something the other day, and this don't put the cap on it, about being notorious in the family about arguments. But the thing that caught my attention about this was that if you just shut your mouth, like Dr. Fletcher said, and just listen, if a person is taking your stance, something you said a long time ago, they bring it back to you, then you won the argument. You don't have to say nothing. We have to learn to honor each other. We don't have to win the argument. We just have to let a person do what is best for them. And sometimes we're not receiving what they're saying, and we don't have to, but you have to respect what they're saying in order that you can rise above the influence of not forgiving her or not forgiving yourself, because it may not have nothing to do with you, It may be her insecurities. And it may be your insecurities that you feel some kind of way. That's my thought on it. Thank you for letting me share.
All right. So, yep, that's it right there. It goes back to you as an individual, you know. It's not healthy to argue. It really isn't. It doesn't serve God at all, you know, because the enemy comes with all that kind of foolishness. And we think that we are proving our point. We think we got to say I got to let her know, well, this is what I think. And then the person, I got to let her know what I think. And they go back and forth. Everybody's just saying what they think. And one want to get up higher than the other. The other want to get up higher than the other. And then what? He done killed that relationship. And the thing that the enemy does, and is that he... I'm trying to make sure that I got, both of you got mics on. Okay, he want to make sure that he cut off communication between women, especially. Because when the women come together, the families come together. The women come together, the families come together. So if I can cut off and keep bickering among women, then families are not going to come together. Because I don't want your son to marry my daughter because I don't even like your family. You see? You see how you're doing it? It's like Cynthia used to say, when one person shoot and kill another, that's two out at the same time, and it's destroying a lineage of families on both sides. Because it's not about the two, the one that shot and the one that died, as much as it's about the family. Those two families are never going to come together because what? One family is going to hate the other family.
Amen.
Your uncle shot my uncle. You know, no, we ain't talking. And there you go. And it goes on and on and on and on until it just flows down generations. Because think, if Ruth and Boaz didn't get together, Jesus wouldn't have been in that lineage. No, you can't marry in this family. That's how this thing is. We got to cut it off at the head, ladies. I'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us at the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, the place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. If you would like to ask Dr. Bessie a question about your mother and daughter relationship, go to contact@matriarchnow.com. That's matriarchnow.com. May the Lord bless your mother and daughter relationship. Blessings. The Mother and Daughter Roundtable is brought to you by Mother and Daughter Faith Trust Ministries. If you'd like to make a donation, visit matriarchnow.com.
All right, ladies, that's our show. Welcome back. We are here.
Thank you so much.
We're going to do much, much more. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good one. Bye,
audience. Blessings. Bye, audience. Love you guys. Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. I have a good one. It's icy and getting at the snow here. Bye-bye.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bye-bye.